Came looking for you this morning. Better than that, aren't you glad he found you? Praise the Lord. Well, what a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord today. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Wasn't the word of the Lord was just wonderful, wasn't it? Amen. I believe there were some folks got set free and delivered and healed. I don't know what all here last night, but we just had a great time. So glad to be back in church today. Glad you're here. So glad that the Lord has given us another privilege, Brother Terry, to enter the house of the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, might be a stranger, but tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. Play some more of that if you will, guys. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Brett Lawson sends this in to please pray for Brandon and Benjamin Lawson. They are both home sick, not feeling well this morning. Also, please pray for their spiritual need as well. Also, remember my father in prayer. Thank you, and may God bless. So we just commit these needs unto the Lord. God is more than able to meet those needs, and we just praise Him for that. Brother Mark Rhodes offers thanksgiving and a prayer request. He says, I want to thank you for praying for my mother, Sister Virginia Rhodes. The Lord delivered her from cancer. My mom is free from cancer now. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Says, please help me pray that God will deliver me from all of my health problems. Thank you, and may God bless. Well, He's more than able, isn't He? We just commit that unto the Lord. The McFarland sends this in. A friend from Ohio, Betty Joe Isaacs, is scheduled for a repeat CAT scan this coming Friday morning at 7:45 a.m. Also remember Betty Joe Isaacs' mother, who has been put under hospice care. So we remember those needs as we pray today. Brother Samuel says he got sick several times last night, but the Lord was able, he was able to be in the house of the Lord. He wants to thank the Lord for that. And he says, you all mean so much to me. You're my church family. Well, we just appreciate Brother Samuel, and may God bless all of us as a collective group this morning. Sister Brenda Jones says, my uncle was diagnosed with cancer. Urgent unspoken prayer request concerning my son and grandson. So we want to commit those needs unto the Lord. Sister Laura Krause needs prayer. She's been real sick all week. Also, Teresa Metcalf needs prayer for cancer. She lives near me. Sister Janet Barron sends that in. Sister Love in Virginia undergoing treatment for cancer and a financial need in her life. We just commit those needs unto the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Could we stand to our feet? Brother Bob King is here this morning in the auditorium. I ask him to come this morning. Brother Bob, if you would, take us to the Lord in prayer. We sure appreciate Brother King, don't we? Amen. I know he and Sister King mostly have to sit over in the fellowship hall for health purposes, but We sure love our brother and sister King. They mean so much to us. And well, if everybody's like Bob King, it'd be a whole lot better world, wouldn't it? Amen. Give him a good hand again as he comes this morning. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
I'm a nervous wreck. I think you should pray for me. Let's sing that little chorus. Faith in the Father, faith in the Son, faith in the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Demons will tremble and sinners away. Faith in Jehovah, great mountains will shake. If you're sick in your body, are troubled in mind, faith will call Him on the scene every time. He'll come riding the highways in the darkest of night. He is the one that can turn on the light. Faith to believe, patience to wait. He's never too early. He's never too late. The mill grinds slowly, but ever so fine. This great mill of God is grinding on time. Fathers, we bow our heads tonight, this morning. Lord, this head, represents her body, and if the Lord should tear it, it will go back to the dust of the earth. But the inside man is not looking to the dust of the earth, but it's rejoicing knowing that it came from God, and we're going back to God. Father, we thank you for the privilege this morning to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you for the honor and privilege to gather together and blend our faith together with the faith of the needy ones that have asked for prayer. And we pray, dear Father, you'll lift us into a supernatural realm. Help our unbelief. Inspire faith. Lift us up, Father, into a realm where all things are possible, Lord. And then lift us up a little bit higher into a realm where it would be impossible to disbelieve God. We know that our prophet preached a message called "The Word Calls for Total Separation from Unbelief." Father, and if that would happen to us, there wouldn't be nothing left but faith. That's what we want this morning, Lord, faith to believe. Father, we pray for those that are sick. We pray for those that are needy. Pray for those, Father, all the spoken requests, and we pray for the unspoken requests. And we pray, dear Father, for those that have had a long, lingering sickness, Father, like my wife and Judy, for the days have turned into weeks, the weeks into months, and the months into years, Lord. But we're praying, Father, for a closure on all these things, like little Eliana needs a closure on her little condition, Lord. Bring her out into perfect health, Lord, we pray. Father, every need that is here, we pray, Father, that you'll meet those needs. Bless Brother Donnie this weekend, wherever he's at, and his family. Bless Brother David as he breaks the bread of life to us this morning, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in the mood for singing this morning. Could you stand one more? There's a path on Sunset Mountain where a prophet walked one day. Seven angels met him as he hunted there that day. He was caught up into heaven and a new commission given to return and open up the seven seals. The path that he walked, someone called the prophet's trail. If the Lord should tarry, I would visit without fail. I would not offend a brother, but to me there is another path that I would like to call the prophet's trail. It's a trail of dedication, separation, consecration. It's a trail of revelation of God's word. And because of this messenger, our eyes now can see many things that one time was a dark mystery. It's a trail of persecution, ridicule and mockery, trail of great power and tremendous victory. This path was not his choosing, but he chose a harder way. Huge part of heaven was promised him someday. It was on this trail that Abel walked when he offered up his lamb. On this trail Moses talked to the great I Am. It's a trail of our prophet. Never one time did he stray from this trail of revelation of God's word for his day. This path that he walked never led to earthly gain. The way that he talked never led to worldly fame, but it led him down a pathway prophets have trod, led him to a dying land, the bleeding word of God. Now, I never had the privilege to speak to him alone. I never had the honor to have him in my home. There's a better day coming. Time shall fade away. In that land beyond the river, we will fellowship someday.
we've had our congregational singing. You can be seated. No, I'm just kidding. Don't sit down. You're just too anxious to sit down this morning. Some of you too anxious to stand up. Some of you too anxious to sit down. But you were glad. Thank you, Brother Bob. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you this morning. Give him another hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Let me make these quick announcements. Ushers, if you'll come this morning, receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're a visitor here this morning, and we've got many in the room with us, I know there's too many that I'll never be able to recognize all of you, but we're so glad to have you visiting with us in the service today. All those that are streaming the service, may God bless those folks as well. Brother Rob Weber wants you to know that Monday Bible study has been canceled for this coming Monday. We'll pick up in 2 weeks on Monday the 28th, so remember that. Well, I want to welcome to the service this morning the family of Melissa Savari, visiting from Indiana. Where would you folks be? Raise your hand wherever you're at in the room. Give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Glad to have you here. We had a request for Brother Joel Yost to lead a song this morning for the congregational song, but I don't believe he's here this morning, so we'll just do it ourselves. Not that song, but we'll sing all together. I believe he's coming back just like he said. Do you believe that with all your heart? You believe he's promised it, he'll do it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him another big hand clap of praise if you love him. Singer, buddy.
High upon a mountain, from where he ascended, the angel of the Lord,
oh, yes,
declared that it would be.
Sing it to it, church.
He said, don't you stand here grieving, cause this one that you see living in like manners coming back just like.
Somebody say praise the Lord. We got too many singers here this morning to work them all in, but we're going to do what we can. We'll let you be seated this morning. Brother Tim, if you'd get Sister Mary ready to sing for us. Let's sing a little chorus this morning. Let it rain. Now, we got some good rain here last night, didn't we? Amen. Naturally and spiritually, we got some good rain. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus as they get ready to sing for us. Sister Lindsay, if you'd come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing for us again this morning. Let's enjoy our singers. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Let it rain. Sing it, church. Open the flood gates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Let it rain. Sing it, church. God bless you. Glad to have you all with us today. Give her a hand as she gets ready to sing this morning.
Thank you for praying. The devil tried to take my life, but God said, not yet. So thank you. Appreciate it. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he healed me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise.
road's been long. I'm a little bit weary, a lot of miles behind me, but home's a lot nearer. I got one more crossing. It's a long way over. Won't you stand by the river, wait for me? Won't you stand by the river, Lord, and hold my trembling hand? Cradle me, sweet Jesus, from the cold, dark, sinking sand. This is one trip I can't take alone. I'm kind of anxious to get on home, so stand by the river, wait for me. He paved the road through the hills and the mountains. In the middle of the desert, he placed a fountain. Now stand by me, Jesus, through the cold, deep water. Won't you stand by the river, wait for me? Oh, won't you stand by the river, Lord, and hold my trembling hand? Cradle me, sweet Jesus, from the cold, dark, sinking sand. This is one trip I can't take alone. I'm kind of anxious to get on home, so stand by the river, wait for me. Oh, won't you stand by the river, Lord, and hold my trembling hand? Cradle me, sweet Jesus, from the cold, dark, sinking sand. This is one trip I can't take alone. I'm kind of anxious to get on home, so stand by the river, wait for me. To get on home, so stand by the river, wait for me. This is one trip I can't take alone. I'm kind of anxious to get on home, so stand by the river, stand by the river, stand by the river, wait for me.
Brother Harry, sing some of that song as Brother David gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. Our favorite.
This is practically a congregational, so everybody help me. The Spirit and the Bride will sing, come. The elect to be in stir.
Aren't you glad you're led by the Lamb? I don't care how far down you are. I don't care how empty you are. The Lamb knows where to get you at. Some of us, He got to the most horrible places you could imagine. I'm just glad I got picked up. I'm not worried about what I am, what my position, all those things will come to it. I'm just glad I got picked up. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to turn to the book of Job, chapter 38. Job, chapter 38. Certainly want to welcome you to the house of the Lord. Job, chapter 38, verse 1. It's certainly our privilege to be here this morning in the presence of the Lord. Just trust the Lord to say something that will help us and something that maybe just encourage you a little bit. Job chapter 38 verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is it that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer, thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who had laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all, A-L-L, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." You say, "Brother David, I don't shout." Oh, I think different this morning. It didn't say some of the sons of God. It said all the sons of God. I don't care how quiet you are. The vision says you shouted. The vision saw you rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to speak, the Lord help us this morning, on developing the picture. Developing the picture. Let's just bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of the word tonight. Lord, we're asking that you would come among us now in a great way. I know, Lord, that I'm helpless. If you don't come this morning, Lord, this service would be a disaster. I'm so needful that you would come by. And Lord, would you just anoint us? Not just me, but may you anoint every one of us together. May we be caught up into what Paul called heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your prophet tells us that's the position of every believer, is in heavenly places. So we ask that you would come, Lord, and may you just do great things, Lord, as you done last night. Lord, yesterday's history, but this morning we have a fresh renewing. We need something from you. Lord, we need to be fed once again. So we come asking that you would help us now, Lord. May we just surrender ourselves to you. May you just come. Lord, send the freshness of your presence by this morning. Lord, may you help us to realize that you're a present tense God and you are here in this building this morning to meet every need, to speak to every heart. May you grant it, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I want to give you the definition, not that you don't know, but just to remind you, to help you to get our minds going a certain direction that I want to look at this morning. But when you talk about developing something, develop means to grow or to cause to grow or become mature. It means to convert to a new purpose. Construct or convert to improve existing resources. It means to start, to exist, to experience or possess. To form into. To bring out the capabilities or the possibilities of. And to bring to a more advanced or an effective state. To undergo developing as a photographic film. Barham tells us in Question and Answers in the COD book 1964 that God took a picture of you. He says, the picture is the main thing. Then in the resurrection, those gases and acids and things comes right back to the place. And it develops this picture again. This picture was not taken when you were 16 or 18 or 20. But it was at your best. But it was taken before there was a foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And it was put in God's great file. And the only thing it did was featured itself here for you to make your choice. Then you become a servant of God. Him for knowing it makes him a redeemer, as we've been thought, been through it. Then that picture is absolutely, see, this is the negative. This is the negative. The negative part of life is where you're living now. And anything, if there's a negative, there's got to be a positive somewhere before there can be a negative. Therefore, if this negative, there's got to be a positive. And it ain't the real thing. There's only a foreshadow, hallelujah, of the real thing that's to come. Now you got it. See, I don't care what you would do with you. What they would do with you, they cannot destroy that profile, that picture in God's great gallery up there. It cannot destroy it. It's in heaven. You can burn it up, feed it to lions, do it any way you want to. It'll come forth again, just as sure as two is four. Just as sure as God spoke it, it'll come forth. So no matter where you are, I want to focus on verse 2, where he's actually asking Job, who is it that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And then Job says, God asked Job, where was you? Where was you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Where was you at? Showing that our existence goes beyond just time. You believe that this morning? Our existence goes beyond earth. It goes beyond temporary things. But there is a part of us this morning that has absolutely eternally come from God. God asked Job, where was you when the morning star sang and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Where was you at, Job? I'll tell you, we came from God. And we are going back to God. And nothing can stop that picture from developing. Death can't stop it. Sickness can't stop it. Sin can't stop it. Unbelief can't stop it. Nothing can stop that picture from developing. Even though we are here, we are living in a body that's controlled by time. We are creatures of time, but yet we came from eternity. Paul said, for whom he did foreknow, which means previously we've been known by God. So we was in the thoughts of God. We was a part of the mind of God. You don't remember it because your mind is finite. You might be finite, but God is infinite. And the finite can't comprehend the infinite unless God condescends for you to understand it. Paul goes on to say, Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him. You wasn't some stray thought floating around God. But you was literally within God. Within God was attribute. Within God was thought. And I'm telling you this morning, you was one of those thoughts. You was a part of him. You was a part of him. When he was there as Redeemer, you was in that attribute. When there was an attribute of Savior, you was a part of that attribute. You was a part of God in the mind of God, eternal from the beginning. So I'm from eternity. Even though we are here in a body, in a place called time. But I've said that eternal circle had just a little doopsie that went down. And he said that little slit there, that little spot, it's called time. But there is a time element which never did begin and never did end. And God called that eternity. But there's just a small process that God dropped us into to develop the picture. You realize this space of time that we live in, it will soon pass. Time will not go on forever. This space of time has come to its end. We're not in the beginning, we're in the ending of it. The troubles of this life will soon pass us by. And then we'll go back to where we come from in God. But let me just tell you, sister, don't get caught up in troubles. Don't get caught up in things of the world. Because you're not part of the world. You are part of eternity this morning. Hallelujah. Brother, when those troubles are gone, I want to tell you, I'm still going to be here. When sickness is gone, I'll still be here. When deep dark trials is over, I'm still going to be here. Satan's attack on us is only temporary. And when the devil is burning in hell, I'll still be here. When there is no more devil, I'll still be here. I'll be here shouting. I'll be here singing. I'll be here hollering. Why? Developing the picture. Job saw me as an overcomer. Job didn't see me depressed. If I was of the eternals, nothing could change that fact. You realize we need to hear that sometimes. That nothing can change what God thought about us. Now Satan tells you it can change. But I'm here to tell you, God's word can't change. And God's word can't fail. God's word cannot come up short. It must accomplish that which He set it out to do. I'm going back there. Job said, I shouted. Before the foundations of the world, before there was a star, before there was molecules, I was shouting already. Woo, I feel good this morning. I'll just tell you, friends, my salvation is not temporary. My salvation didn't start in time. My salvation started in eternity. You weren't saved at an altar. That's just where you recognize what you always was. You always was a son. You always was a daughter of God. You were saved. You were saved when that lamb got slain. Abraham tells us in serpent seed in his prayer, dear God, that great mighty God, who formed all things by the power of His Spirit, has brought Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, who freely died for we sinners. That's just for the unjust. Watch, to reconcile us back into this marvelous fellowship that we have again with God. You can't have it again unless you've already had it. There can't be an again unless somewhere you've already had it with Him. Before the foundation of the world, when the morning stars sang together, the sons of God shout for joy. Way back before the foundation of the world. How do we know that wasn't at the same time that the Lamb was slain? But David, I can't understand that. Let me read it again. At the same time when the Lamb was slain, that when God in His great thinking, He seen us shouting and rejoicing in our salvation through Jesus Christ. So we have rejoiced about our salvation before. I'll tell you, I've already been seen in victory. I've already been seen as a conqueror. I've already been seen as an overcomer. I've already been seen victorious. And nothing can change what God saw about me. He saw me shouting. He saw me shouting. You hear people all the time, oh, I just feel like shouting. Well, what's keeping you from it? I'll tell you what it is. It's time that's keeping you from it. What will people think if they see me? I'm telling you, it's not what people thought. It's what God thought and what God saw, and He's already seen you. God can't change His mind about His word. So Jesus was crucified in the mind of God, but He had to fulfill, or He had to come to manifestation of that which was in His mind. There had to come a day that Jesus acted out His part. There had to come a day that the actual translation, the actual forming, the actual development had to come through a process. He had to act out His part. Jesus fulfilled His part. But it's not just Jesus. He had a bride. So you've got to fulfill your part. You realize what we're doing this morning. We're walking into His thinking. We're walking back into His mind. God never seen you depressed. He didn't see you in some decrepit state. He didn't see you as a bunch of defeated people that couldn't overcome. I'm telling you, He didn't see us as alcoholics. Preach, Brother David. He didn't see us with cancer. He didn't see us with diabetes. That wasn't the picture that He saw of us. He saw us as conquerors. The picture that I see, according to the book of Job, we was overcoming because of a lamb. We was overcoming. And Paul says, We know if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I have a theophany that's waiting for me. A body that's eternal in the heavens. It's called a body, a word body. You realize that's what the rapture is all about. But Rev said, you come to this earth, you bypassed your theophany. You come here to get your hair color, your eye color, your stature. He said you bypassed that word body. But the rapture is the two bodies merging back together. I lived in a town where they built a bypass around it. They bypassed the town, but after you get past the town, after you get past it, it merges back to the main highway again. Brother, the rapture is the merging of the highway. It's the merging of the bodies back together. Brother David, I just don't understand it. How can God be supernatural? I don't understand the supernatural. Well, I think I do. I think I do. I think I understand supernatural. I do. See, the way I see it is God is super and I'm natural. You put both of them together, you get supernatural. And what God is doing, He's merging the super theophany with a natural flesh body, and He changes this body in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. That's why you gotta know who you are. God took a picture of you. The problem is, sin distorted the picture. But I'm saying, see, not there after Shuck. Here we're presented with the picture. All that seed started, the seed of promise started in a slightly doubt. Watch now. Doubt of the original promise. See how it starts low? In the doubt of the original promise. So what distorted this picture in time was doubting the promise of God. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if doubting the original word distorted the picture, what happens when the restored original word, the spoken word, comes back and somebody believes that original word as it was supposed to have been believed in the beginning? If sin distorted the picture, how does faith would take and restore the image back to its original creation again? The only way to bring the picture back, somebody's got to believe the word. Amen, somebody. Listen, friends, this ain't the first time I've been identified with this message. This ain't the first time I believe this gospel. This ain't the first time I've heard this. This ain't the first time I've heard about redemption. This ain't the first time I've talked about a lamb. I've fellowshipped around it. I've fellowshipped about that lamb. I've shouted about it. Brother, I got excited about it. The picture was an image in God's mind. Burnham said, somewhere in the church age, watch carefully now, before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God. Oh, I like that right there. Brother Ram said, see, God's an object of adoration. No one's there to worship Him. So at that time, He was only potentially God. And I'm telling you, you was in Him before He was God. He was only known as Eternal Spirit. The bride was already in His mind. Yes, she was. She was existing. She was existing in His thoughts. Notice it says that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. That means we were right there with Him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives eternal quality to the elect. Oh, I love this. You can't get away from it. You've tried to outrun God. You've out tried to run the word. You've out tried to outrun the church. But I'm telling you, you can't outrun the spoken word. Sin ain't going to keep you away from it. Doubt can't keep you away from it. Hell can't keep you away from it. Death can't keep you away from it. Again, sir, we would see Jesus if you were in His thinking at the beginning. If you got eternal life. There's only one form of eternal life, and eternal life had no beginning, had no ending. So if you have eternal life, you are an attribute in God's thinking before there was anything but Him. Your form, your shape, what you are now is just a negative. Anybody know what this is? It's just a negative. You can't see it clearly. It ain't a clear picture. It's just a negative. But there he is, a positive. This is just a negative. When you come around 22 years old, you were a negative. Death develops the picture. Develops the picture to the positive. Watch the scripture. That when this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we already have one waiting. That's the foundation. I hope that's all right. Years ago, I had a 35 millimeter camera. That would be the resource that I would use to capture a picture. That film had to be the right size to go into that camera. Couldn't be bigger, couldn't be smaller, had to be the right size or the picture would never take. Glory to God. It had to be the right film created for a specific purpose for the right kind of camera. And then once you put the film in there, you have the ability to take the pictures. Now, in order for you to catch a image upon the film, it took light. It took light to produce an image on the film. If there was no light, there would be no picture. Hallelujah. See, once the camera takes a picture, the light would reflect off the object and would actually leave an imprint on the film. Oh, glory, somebody. Now notice, if it was dark, if it was a dark time, if the sun wasn't up, and it was in a dark age, a dark time, the camera had a hidden power in it. And that hidden power would literally cause the light to flash in the darkness. And when the light flashed in the darkness before there was a moon, before there was stars, before there was a Milky Way, the light flashed in the darkness and it captured an image. Hallelujah. That hidden power causes that camera to flash. Oh, think about it. The picture was taken. The picture was taken while the image was in the presence of the light. Oh, come on, somebody. When all the creating of theophanies was done, I mean, when all the pictures was taken, the film would then leave the camera. It would condescend from the camera. And it would be sent down to the lab to go through a process called development. I'm going to try to behave this morning, but I can't promise nothing. Now, somebody that's a real photographer, they don't want to take a chance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They don't want to take a chance of somebody else developing their picture. I said the one who took the picture wants to be responsible for developing what lays on the field. He don't want somebody else to develop it because they may not do it right. So God developed this picture himself. Hallelujah. He didn't leave it up to your mama. He didn't leave it up to your daddy. He didn't leave it up to the preacher. He didn't leave it up to the prophet. God developed this picture himself. Once the film is taken to the workshop, preach somebody, preach. photographer would take. He would take that film and begin to wrap that film with chemicals. You know, calcium, potash, magnesium, petroleum. He would wrap that film and absolutely baptize that film deep within some chemicals. Looking at the chemicals from the natural eye, you couldn't see the film right. All you would see is the chemicals. Brother, don't get your eyes caught up on the chemicals. Don't get your eyes caught up on your flesh. That's not the picture. The chemicals allow the image, which was captured by light, to be exposed. Blind man can preach this. Whew. See, at first, when the film's put in the solvents, what the chemicals does, it dissolves. If this earthly tabernacle be, the chemicals would be dissolved, and it would take and form a chemical reaction. Something would literally take place upon that film. A change, glory, a change would begin to move over the film. Now listen, it don't happen just in one time, but as time goes on, little by little by little, service after service after service, word after word after word, God begins, the photographer begins to develop the picture. It takes a lot to produce the film. You realize it took the right kind of light to develop the picture that God wanted. You remember in Houston, Texas, glory to God, I feel my preacher here. In Houston, Texas, when the debate was going on, the man wanted to get a picture with his finger pointing right into the face of that old saint and have his fist up there. And just so happened, accidentally, coincidentally, the photographer took 7 pictures. But Rip tells us in Jehovah Jireh, they went on to the Douglas Studios right here in this address and things on the picture. When they went to develop the picture, they'd taken out the 6 glossies that was supposed to have been for Mr. Best shaking his fist under that gold, that godly saint old man, and every one of them was blank. God would not permit that camera to take that picture under that saintly man's nose like that, acting like that. And when they pulled out the 7th one, struck the film. I said the light struck the film. Oh, glory to God. They pulled that 7th one out. There was an angel of the Lord. Listen, on the picture, the light captured the light. Any person's ever took film or took pictures knows it's hard to get the right light, because if there's too much light, it just blurs the picture. But the light took the picture of the light. Barham said, not psychology. See, Barham said, he told me the mechanical eye of the camera won't take psychology. I'm going to say that again. God's picture won't take psychology. It don't take education. It don't take theories. It don't take creeds. It don't take dogmas. It takes something that literally takes light to strike the film. The light struck the lens. It takes light to capture the object. Now, The Lord gave this to me yesterday morning very early. And I just about had a runaway spell. Now, I'm going to try to be nice since we're at church, but I can't promise you nothing this morning because I'm excited about this. I've had a lot of Starbucks this morning, but it ain't Starbucks. You got to hear this. You remember Brother Bram talking about the old man that went up in the attic because she's about to have her party and she didn't want him interrupting the party. So he went upstairs to have his own shouting party. He got up there and was reading a geography book. And brother, if you're a son of God, you can see the word in anything. Well, I got to reading on the internet about Wikipedia. And Wikipedia just about gave me a runaway. Wikipedia says, now watch, the coining, I love the way they say this, the coining of the word photography has been attributed in 1839 to Sir John Herschel, based upon the Greek. Phos means photos. Watch now. Phos means photos, meaning light. Photograph, graph, meaning drawing, writing. Together the meaning is drawing with. Somebody shout with me, man. In the beginning, God drove you with light. He coined you by light. He took the picture of you with light. Not time, not depression, not discouragement. Light. Light. I'm not a creature of the darkness. I'm a child of light. Drawing, 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 drawing with light. It literally means creating light with light. Now here's what happened. Wikipedia says, when you develop film, the monochrome process, around the year 1800, Thomas Wedgwood made the first known attempt brother, if you would have read John 1 and 1, you would have known that wasn't the first attempt, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the light was the light of man. And the light was made flesh and dwelt among us. Woo. I'll never get through with this. He made the first attempt to capture the image in the camera obscura by means of a light sensitive substance. Whew. Listen now. Not every chemical is light sensitive. Oh God, that's good. Woo, keep right on, Lord. Let me turn that one over a little bit. But there is a chosen, elected, selected few chemicals. Hallelujah! That can literally reflect and be sensitive to light. He used a paper and white leather treated with silver nitrate. Although he succeeded in capturing the shadows of objects placed on the surface in direct sunlight. Even made shadow copies of paintings on glass. It was reported in 1802. The images formed by the means of a camera obscura had been found too faint to produce in any moderate term. The shadow images eventually darkened all over. No attempts had been made to prevent the uncolored part of the copy or profile from being acted upon by light have as yet been successful. So you go back in the 1800s under Luther, Wesley, they was trying to produce an image. But they was having a hard time to get the negative to produce a full exposure. Glory to God. So they could only see pieces and parts of the image. But they couldn't see the full image itself because it was hidden by obscurity. Though I looked to a glass darkly, It was only pieces and parts. See, they didn't have enough understanding to bring the picture to full light. After a very long exposure in the camera, traditionally said to be 8 hours, but possibly several days, the body man is sufficiently hardened in the proportion to its exposure light that the unhardened part could be removed with a solvent. So it sit in what it had so long, it caused it to harden with the present tense revelation. You can't live by a light of yesterday. To see the image plainly, the plate had to be lit and viewed in such a way that the bare metal appearance dark and the bottom in relatively light, after a long exposure in the camera, traditionally said to be 8 hours, but possibly several days, it was sufficiently hardened in a portion to its exposure to light that the unhardened part could be removed with solvent. Now watch this. In other words, it was dark. It wasn't a clear depicted image. Something that was a true reflection of what was seen originally. Any photographer, they say, well, they got a good eye. Well, some people's got two of them. And what they want to do is, they want to capture that picture under the best lighting. And certain people has the ability to see a setting to make sure everything's right. We was in Florida preaching here last week. And we was out on the ocean in the moonlight, glory. And they was trying to capture a picture. But the problem is, the only light we had was moonlight. And the waves was crashing against the shore, and we're sitting on the edge of the ocean. And somebody took the camera and turned the flash on. And even though it was dark all around us, everywhere you look was dark. When the light come on the scene, it revealed there was a image in the darkness. Glory to God. See, what happened now is one man started the process, but he would get to a certain age and he would go off the scene. And somebody else would pick up the work that the previous man had started. He brought him to so much revelation, if you will, so much understanding, and then his time was up. And then another man would raise up and it would take him a little bit further. Then in 1833, Nice died of a stroke, leaving his notes to Guerrero, which is a Frenchman, more interested in silver-based process than this had been. Watch now. He begins to advance. Daguerre experimented with photographing camera images directly onto a silver surfaced plate that had been fumed with iodine vapor, which reacted with the silver to form a coating of silver iodide. Exposure times were still impractically too long. Then by... I love when them accidents happen. I just accidentally clicked on Wikipedia yesterday. According to traditional accounts, Daguerre made the pivotal discovery that an invisibly faint latent image... The invisible was becoming visible. Produced on such a plate by much shorter exposure could be developed to full visibility by mercury fumes. This brought the required exposure time down to a few minutes under optimum conditions. Daguerre announced the first complete practical photographic process to the French Academy of Sciences, and the news quickly spread. At first, all the details, basically the process wasn't revealed because he wanted money for it. But later on, all the details of the process were withheld, but specimens were shown only to a trusted few. Oh God, it's just too good, man. Woo. Daguerre then presented it to the world as a free gift. Complete instructions was published on 19th of August, 1839. The first original picture that was ever developed in full clarity was of a man and a woman. What was happening is they was moving from one to another. Reverend said the token, that's where we're walking from one church age, from Luther into Wesley, into Pentecost, and so on as we go. As we move on up, God continually magnifies the same word. It just keeps going like that until finally the church will come. Until finally the church will come to the image of Jesus Christ, which will be His bride that He'll take home. Right. The thing that we're looking for today. From that time, pictures got better and better and better until finally they advanced from black and white to colored photos. God. Which made every image in the photograph more clear, more vivid. They called it, as it transformed into the mid-1900s, they called it a new era. A new beginning. A new time. Shalom! Shalom! It is the rising of the sun. The new era in color photography began with the introduction of Kodachrome film available for 16mm home movies in 1935 and 35mm slides in 1936. It captured the red, green, and blue color. Watch now. Components in three layers of emulsion. So then it was better now. Because they had the ability to make it so real that when you look at it, it's though that you're standing there. Then they was able to take and connect photos that would rapidly be taken one right after another, right after another, right after another. God, hallelujah. And they would squeeze those photos together. You ever seen those books that has pictures in them? And when you thumb through there and you click through there, it looks like the image is moving. Well, that's how they created movie, or what they call animation. I mean, I'm clear the runway. What they was able to do is they moved higher than just still pictures. God. But now they had the ability to make the image appear as though it's alive. A resurrection. A resurrection. And a dark denominationalism. It became alive. They called it animation. It was moving. It was lifelike. It looked as though the image was right clear happening in front of you. But you know how they did it in the new era? Somebody created the right kind of optics. Let me say it better than that. When the optics come on the scene, it produced a new era. The history of film began in the late 1880s with the invention of the first movie camera. Motion pictures were initially exhibited just as a carnival novelty. But it developed into one of the most important tools of communication. I love this right here. Films before 1930 were silent. Can you imagine me sitting at my desk yesterday reading this? So even though they could produce the image in real time, they didn't have the ability to capture the voice with the image. There was a picture, but there was no voice. They called this the silence era. But somewhere in the mid-1900s, there was a breaking of the silence. The mystery of silence becomes broken. The secret that they had been looking for had been sealed up. Sealed up. And that seal, which was sealed to man's understanding, become ripped off and broken open. Now, not only did they have the ability to produce vision, not just television, but they had the ability to produce voice. The vision became alive. Walt Disney took his pictures that was still and was able to make them appear alive. And then he put voice with it to make it sound funny. But that was just the beginning of it. Think about it. There was no vision. There was no voice to the vision. The negative was being developed to make it clearer and clearer and clearer. But finally, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of silence, the mystery of the word should be finished, as he's declared to his voice, the prophet. Now you could literally step into the vision. Right? Brother Ram says, somewhere in the church age, as we were in the thoughts of God that expressed in flesh, there had to come a day when we would hear his voice. The hearing of that voice, we become aware of the Father calling us and recognize that we are the sons of God. We heard his voice. And we cried. And we cried as the prodigal son. God sent a voice, and that voice caused a reaction to the bride of Christ that was on earth, and she cried. Save me, my Father, I'm returning to thee. When the prodigal son returned to his daddy, daddy didn't say, put him back in the hog pen. Daddy didn't say, take him and kill him. We don't want nothing to do with him. Daddy didn't say, kick him to the curb like a bad habit. He said, go get my robe. Don't get his robe. Get my robe. Robe him in my righteousness. Get my ring. Put it on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. There's fixing to be a party right here. Hallelujah. He throwed a celebration for his son that had returned to him from the dead. There was dancing at the party. There was hollering at the party. There was screaming at the party. There was shouting. When the son came back to his original position, there was shouting going on. So where was you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Brother Bram said, we had fellowship with him. We was there. You don't remember it because of the time element, but you was there. Brother Bram said, there's only one form of eternal life. If you got eternal life, then you yourself was in God's thinking before the world was created. You're an attribute of thinking because eternal never did begin or never can end. You're a part of God's economy always. Take that, devil. It's just reflecting. It's reflecting and it's becoming. They got one more picture to develop. Oh God. God's last picture. See, that's death. Then the negative becomes positive. Then you're in the bride with Christ as he thought, like husband and wife. So he gets the eternal spirit, his attribute displayed in that body. Then, like any picture in its negative form, it goes into the dark room. Glory to God. Brother Ram said, you go and you die out to yourself. It amazes me. I hear it so much. It bothers me. Because I hear people all the time. They say, oh, hide me behind the cross. Hide me behind the cross. Don't hide me behind it. Put me on it. Put me on it and let me be crucified. Crucify your will, my will. Let it be crucified on the cross. Brother, you can't just hide behind it. You've got to die on it. Hallelujah. See, he said, there it is, developed. The picture in its negative form. It goes in the dark room. Then it's developed. I love this statement. It comes out to the perfect picture. And we go into the dark room, but come out after the negative has been in a perfect picture in the image of Christ. Just like stepping a picture, you're the negative. Any negative has got to go in the dark room through acids to develop the picture to make you see what it is. We are now in the expressed imminent. Think about it, friends. Imagine of him. It's the negative has been taken. We're human life. But we must go in the dark room down to the grave to go through the developing to come back forth in the image. Oh my, young forever, all the old age and all the defects and everything will be taken away. Then we are redeemed. God's attributes right back. God's material with Christ and the church. Just like a man and his wife. Christ and the bride. Because it's redeemed back. His thinking is expressed out. Don't get hung up on the negative. Our biggest problem is our negatives. What discourages me is my negative. Because I see what the pictures is like and I begin to compare it to this chemical, preach somebody. And I don't see a match. Amen, somebody. I don't see a clear image. I don't see a clear reflection because I'm looking through dirt, looking at dirt. But if you would ever look through the blood, preach somebody. You won't see your chemicals. You won't see your dirt. You won't see your calcium and petroleum and potash. You'll see the word in a clear picture. The picture development in 2 Corinthians 5. This earthly tabernacle is dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Anybody know what the word eternal means? No beginning. No ending. For in this we grow. Preach, man. Earnestly desiring to be clothed with our picture, which is from heaven. If so being clothed, we shall not be found Laodiceans. So we're missing something. We call it a body. It's a word body. The Bible teaches us it's eternal in the heavens. It's God's original thought that he had of you before the foundation of the world. But you realize this is not a glorified body. Amen. And this is not a theophany body. This is a chemical body. But it takes this body and a theophany body to make a glorified body. Amen, somebody. So we realize it takes the merging of the two to make the one. Husband and wife, it takes two to make one. Theophany is not part of the earth. This body is from the earth, but the theophany is a part of heaven. It's a part of his word. But it takes heaven and earth to embrace in order to make a glorified body. So we see we're going to get a body that we bypassed. Amen. See, that's where we differ with denominations. They say we're going to get something we never have or never had. But what I'm telling you is, you're going to get a body that you always had. You just bypassed. That's where we differ with every creed, every dogma. They say we're getting a body of the future. And I'm telling you, you're getting a body, an image of the past. But you will never meet that body unless you first hear from it. See, we're going to receive something we just bypassed. That's why Abraham said the rapture is only for the predestinated. Because it's only for those that's got a body to go to. God ain't going to make a bunch more theophanies in the rapture. He has a selected, elected few. He knew by foreknowledge that would believe this message and would stand for it. And I'm telling you, you're just going to the body that you bypassed in the beginning. Listen, church, we don't believe in replacement. We don't preach replacement. We're not replacing with something else. We believe in resurrection, which means to pick up the one that has went down. I don't care how far it goes down. I don't care if it was ate by lions, killed there in the dens. God knows where your elements are. My favorite message, who is this Melchizedek? Then after you recognized the very word of God was eagle food, you left that other thing. You have been, watch now, you have been formed. Let me take formed out. You have been developed into a living image. Not a still picture, not a picture without voice, not a picture that wasn't moving. You are a living image of God. Formed into the living image of the living God. You heard from your theophany. See, God's original thought of you, you heard from it. And you recognize, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will, preach somebody. And a stranger they will not follow. You heard from it. See, what do? When somebody passes away, you know what we do? We put pictures around it. We put pictures up. Because we don't remember them as they are. We want to remember them as they was. Glory to God. You ever been to a wedding? And during the wedding, they got pictures of what the bride and groom was before they got married. And it starts when they was little bitty and oh, they're so cute and so precious and so pretty and oh, they're so funny. And it just begins. And what happens is they put them on a time lapse. And it shows them as they are growing and maturing and developing into adults. But the picture reminds you of what they was when they was first born again. And it produces a negative. The negative sometimes hard to see. What in the world was God saying? Oh, I got it. The just shall live. I think I can see the rest of it. Oh, by faith. I see the second one is sanctification. Oh, look right here. Here's a good one. Here's Pentecost. Ain't that just so cute? Look at them. They was playing around like children. Hallelujah. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Until finally, it moves from negative into the real thing. Because what is on this negative? What is on this picture? I appreciate that. I got banged down, man. Delete that or I'll have your head. What was on the negative was then displayed for everybody to see what was happening. Can anybody tell me by that image what was happening? There was a marriage going on. Don't you just love him? Where's she at? Let me see her hand. Where is she? She ain't gonna raise it, is she? Oh, I got it. But see, that's just a photo on the screen. But let me tell you something. One day I'm gonna come down to where she's at. And I finally took her by the hand and I married her. And guess what? Her body began to change. She become expecting. She's not going to birth a creed. She's not going to birth a dogma. She's not going to birth some man's idea. She's going to birth the seed. Hallelujah. She's going to birth the DNA, the gene that had been put in her. She's going to birth a child into my image. Not the image of a man, but the image of God. Oh, hallelujah. friends. Don't view yourself as a negative. Understand the negative. It only means one thing. There's a positive coming. You may look at all your faults and mistakes, but let me encourage you. If there is a negative, that means there's got to be a positive somewhere. And I'm not telling you that we just had fellowship and that you was there. I'm telling you, you had voice. Why, Brother David? Because the Spirit and the bride says she's got voice. So if the picture today produces a bride with the voice, that means the picture in the beginning in God's mind saw us with a voice. I'm talking about the elect of God. I'm talking about the predestinated. I'm telling you, God saw you with voice. But Brother David, what was I saying? Well, it ain't necessarily what you were saying. It's what you were shouting about. God saw you shouting. When John saw his name on that book in Revelation 5, John began to scream. John began to holler. Everything in heaven and earth heard I, John, scream. You didn't haphazardly come to this message. You didn't just happen to end up in this church this morning. I'm telling you, we are predestinated by the foreknowledge of God. We're elected to see what we're seeing. We're predestinated to believe what we're believing. I'm ordained to confess what I'm confessing, say what I'm saying. God heard you. I said, God heard you. God heard you and God heard me. He heard me preaching this message and he heard you screaming amen to it. And when you respond to that original word, you're stepping into that image of that word. Not in negative form, but the negative is becoming positive. Developing the picture. Let's bow our hearts as our musicians come. Developing the picture. He's seen you. He heard you. He heard you rejoicing. He heard your amen this morning. And what I'm saying is when he heard your amen, you reminded him of that picture that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Our confession is what he heard. Remember, friends, you got to hear from your theophany. You got to get the right confession. You got to hear from it. And you can't get the right confession until you hear from it. That's why we needed a prophet to get the right confession. Oh my. Until finally, civilization and technology has advanced to where there's people all over the world watching this service as it happens live. You know why? They have the ability by technology and advancement to produce it. And what they say, live. It's live. You're not some thought of just a thought of the past. You're the reality of the word. You're a living image of the living God walking into that thought that God had of you. Job, where was you when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Job began to think, where was I at? Where was I at? Job had been down and discouraged. Everything he looked at, everything around him is gone. His family's been killed. His children's been killed. His house has been destroyed. Job, where was you? Answer without me. I demand an answer. Job sitting out there one day, seeing a flower raise up. Then after so much time, that flower goes back to the ground. He sees a tree begins to produce a full bloom. And after a time, it begins to go back down. The sap runs down to the roots. And Job starts seeing. If it runs down, something had to tell it to run down. There's an intelligence behind it. Hallelujah. But one morning, at the right time, in the right season, something will move over those plants and something will move over those trees. And the life of that sap will begin to run up through the roots, through the trunk of that tree. It'll go all the way back to the headstone, to the head, and begin to run out to limbs. And that tree will begin to produce fruit. You know why? It's another spring. Where was you, Job? Well, if that's the negative, and it dies and comes back and dies and comes back, what about a son of God? Listen, if you go by the way of the grave, it's only a doorway that develops you instantly. Today they have the ability, everybody has. Now think about it. Years ago, the only way to get a picture is you had to go to a photographer. But now every person, glory to God, has their own individual exposure. Camera. Oh God. Listen, friends, it's not a group. It's an individual affair. And you have arrived this morning. God's been producing this image that he had in his mind. It ain't going to fail. It can't fail. You can't outrun it. You can't get too far away from it. He must develop the picture. Oh, hallelujah. I want to sit at your feet. Would you sing that? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you imagine when you get back into his presence? What do you want to do? You've come back to the original word, back into his presence. I want to take my time at his throne. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
The more I seek you.
Hallelujah. Why don't you just stand
more I find
and express your love back to your husband. Tell him what he means to you.
The more I find you.
Remind him of who you are.
The more I love you. I want to sit at your feet. Drink from this cup in your hand. Lay back against you. Be your heartbeat. This love is so deep. It's more than
desires to be able to one day lay your head on his chest. What is it? You stepped out of eternity. You'll step right back to where you come from. The merging will take place, brother and sister. Oh, I want to take my time when I get there, don't you? Let everybody else have their time, but when you get your opportunity, what's it going to mean to you when you're actually able to look upon Him and you see the one that you've talked about, prayed to, wondered about, dreamed about, is developed in reality right in front of you? Can you imagine how bad you want to see Him? Think how bad He wants to see you back to your original image, without faults, without mistakes, back to the perfect picture again. Oh, I love Him, don't you? Oh, my.
I want to sing that song. Well, one day I'm going to take a step.
How many believes you're going to take one last step? It ain't going to be into a church house. It'll be into God's house. One day I'm going to take a step. I'm going to mind the offer of me. One day I'm going to take a step. Into mind the offer of me. One day I'm going to take a step. He's going to set me free. Mind the offer of me. Will I hear it calling? Oh, can we sing it again? Hallelujah. One day. Back in the mind, the offer of me. One day I want to take. My mind is saying, calm down, calm down, calm down. My soul saying, leave, leave, leave. We're rising up. We're rising up. There's a New Testament church that's rising up. The land. I see God's mighty hand.
I see a victory in it.
Cry the prize, the door to win. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Just like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold. They turned that old world upside down. Spirits were cast out. In the jail they sing and shout, while surrounded by God's holy angel band.
Listen now.
But if you think it's all on God,
oh, no.
All the miracles are done.
Sing
I have some good news to bring to you.
The gospel's here to tell you.
In his last days he'll pour,
yes, he
of his spirit more. Your strength he'll renew. This church shouting. Can you imagine? Brother, I can't keep from shouting. I've been seen as a shouter. I can't keep from being what God's already saw about me. Oh, Jesus. Ain't it been good to be in church this weekend? Hallelujah. If you go to denominations, you'll not hear that. They'll tell you about a Jesus that used to be. Organization tell you about a Jesus that used to be. You come to this church, we don't tell you about a Jesus that used to be in shoe leather and earth. We talk about Jesus in another form. A picture that's been developed on humanity.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord.
The chemicals has begun to erode away now. What happened is they wanted to get the exposure time. So it's so quick. Not hours, not days. They wanted it
Glory.
Seconds. So now you can take a picture with digital photography. It don't take 6 months to become. Amen. The last shall be first. And the first shall be last. They ain't got 50 years to get ready.
Amen.
It's instant photography. Oh God. God ain't going to have one person left out. Every one of us is going to come to that image. But this sounds so familiar. It is. You've heard me preach this before.
Lord.
You have. You heard me preach it when I was up there shouting about it. Screaming about it. Hollering about it. Oh, praise God.
I appreciate you. God bless you. Brother Harry, as we go, let's sing that song, Pressing On, Pressing On. I don't know where you're from. I don't know what happens after you leave this building. I don't know what lays in store for you. But don't get your eyes on the negative so much. Keep your eyes on what the Word said you're going to be. The negative is obscure. You can't see it clear. But brother, if there's a negative, there's got to be a positive somewhere. Amen. Praise God. Brother Harry.
I'm going to keep pressing on.
Just say, Satan, I'm gonna prove you a liar again. I gotta keep running.